Hendry.
Here we go. And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go anywhere, everywhere, places even other talk shows dare not tread. This evening, among the many different things we're going to be doing, if you're a Backstage Pass member, you will have an opportunity to bid on a Phil Hendry Show picture disc, which I'm showing on Phil TV right now. And all you do is go to the comment section. Let's say the first comment section that we have there. I'll tell you what. Hold off the bidding. We'll start the bidding. What do you think, Margaret?
I think you should start the bidding after the first break, and you can put a special bid section.
Yeah, that's my idea.
Well, no, it wasn't your idea. It was your idea.
All right, so hold off on the bidding until the first break. We'll put up a special section where you can post your bid, and any other bids anywhere else are not going to be counted, so don't think that they will be. Now, the picture disc that I'm holding here is the Best of 2000. It is indeed a picture disc. It's also playable, meaning...
You put that on a record player?
Get up to the microphone, Robert.
I'm sorry, you put that on a record player?
Yes, you can put it on a record player.
And it's playable?
Yeah, you drop the needle on the old if you have a turntable. I don't know that anybody would want to do that.
Well, why would anybody want to get it then?
Because it's a collector's item, Jack. It's, you know...
What?
Look at it, man. Well, you guys haven't really seen vinyl in your lives, have you?
I know my brother-in-law collects it.
Yeah, a lot of people collect vinyl. Well, this is a picture disc vinyl. It has my face. It has Best of 2000, you know. So we'll start the bidding among our Backstage Pass members in the first break once we get our little bid section posted there. We're not, you know, there's no minimum bid, just whatever you think. You know.
Well, as you said, Phil, there's going to be people, you know, some of these idiots are going to bid 2 cents.
You know, whatever. They bid 2 cents. Dave in Florida, I already mentioned you once. I'm going to mention you one more time. Your coffee pot will be mailed. I mentioned before the show started that we actually auctioned off my old espresso pot.
Yeah, that was threw it away in a warehouse.
You're kidding.
No, they were supposed to mail it, the fulfillment people, and instead they thought it was some garbage that had been left over. Which, in point of fact, it was garbage, but it's actually supposed to be mailed, and all this got thrown away. So, Dave, that's on its way. The other thing that we're going to talk about tonight will be the jobless rate falling to 7.8%, but there's some controversy, so we will talk about that. Stephen Bozell is with us from Corona, California, about flu shots and the flu shot season. We want to get Stephen on the line here and talk a little bit about that with him. Steve is the father of two. He's a husband, and he joins us on our newsmaker line at the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. I guess, Steve, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on. One other program note. The Milwaukee Lions will be on Phil TV, the audio call on Monday. Game time is at 1 p.m. Pacific, so 3 p.m. Central for you fans in Milwaukee, and they're in Portland to play the Logs. What's so funny about that? Oh, okay.
I'm talking about a log. Yeah, I hope they squeeze out a win. Yeah, give me five on that. Yeah,
get out of here, give me five.
My God.
All right. Steve, how you doing?
I'm good, Mr. Harry.
And, Stephen, you and I and many Americans avail themselves of the flu shot every year. Isn't that correct?
Well, I know that, you know, we do at our house, and I'm very much a big believer in flu shot, yeah.
And the flu shots are, and I was talking to Dan, in fact, Dan Northcraft, our technical director, before the show started. Dan's, he's gotten a little bit of a flu. And we were talking about the flu shot. I said, well, you know, I'm probably, good number of years older than Dan, and I get the flu shot every year now, but the reason why I do it is because I got really sick. I got laid up in the hospital, and I didn't want to go through that again. Man, I'll do anything not to go through that.
Well, and you also, Mr. Henry, you said that you also get a pneumonia shot, and that's very important, too, although you don't, the good thing about a pneumonia shot, people don't, maybe they don't know or they do, is a pneumonia shot is only necessary to get once every few years.
Yeah, I found that out. I thought I had to get one every year.
No, it's only necessary. I think you get a pneumonia shot maybe once every 3 years or something, but and I don't know if everybody should get that or just, I don't mean to say old, you know, old people, but I mean,
No, it's okay if you want to call me old. I mean, it's you know, I mean, what am I going to do, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
I don't feel old, and I don't think that I'm that old, but...
Well...
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, you're right. All of us old guys have got to get pneumonia shots up.
No, I think everybody that is... I don't mean old, but I think anyone who's up for grabs, you know...
Well, what does that mean, up for grabs?
Well, I mean, if your health is up... I guess what I'm saying is, if you're up for grabs, I'm trying to put it in a way...
If your health is compromised, is that what you're trying to say, Mr. Bozell?
I'm sorry?
If your health is compromised, or if your physical state is compromised?
If you're in a vulnerable position.
That's a way better way of saying it. I was trying to find the words that would be more relatable, I guess. But if you're in that place where you are, the word that lady used, I'm sorry.
Vulnerable.
You're going to be wanting to get a shot like that. But I got my flu shot. My wife April had her flu shot. Our two kids had it, and I've gotten it too. And I also want, if Roy Hutchins is listening tonight, I got my flu shot, and so I don't know what you're talking about. It's just a thing between him and me. That's been pretty funny, Miss Henry.
Wait, do you mind letting us in on it?
I just told him I got a flu shot. I believe, Mr. Henry, that, you know, life is a short thing, and we should do everything that we can to get the most out of it. And if we have things we need to overcome, then we need to overcome them. I'm not alone, I don't think, and I asked my wife April about this, and she said that she felt it would be a good thing for me to bring up on your show tonight. And I said, and I asked her to be honest about that, because a lot of times my wife, my kids might want to play a joke on me and have me think something's okay, and then I do it, and then they're laughing. And you know, I,
all right. Well, what did you want to talk? We're talking about the flu shots now, right?
Yes, sir.
Can I just add something here? I just want people to know I go get a flu shot because I had pneumonia, but I also every year since I was a kid I've had bronchitis. I've had all kinds of issues, man, with my. You know, my breathing, you know, my lungs and stuff. And this is a guy, I mean, I'm just telling you guys that I'm a guy that grew up in the San Gabriel Valley of the metro Los Angeles area. Now, if you know anything about that, you know that I grew up in an area where the smog just goes and sits and collects.
Yeah, it's similar to where we are in Corona.
The Inland Empire, the beginnings of the central of that basin there, a lot of smog, and then, and I'm not proud of it, but then I started smoking cigarettes when I was 14. Now put that all together, put together the fact that I was breathing this garbage my whole life, especially when I was a kid riding my bike up and down these hills. I mean, we grew up in the foothills, so I literally was riding my bike up these long stretches of hill to get home at night, and then so you're respirating a lot. I started smoking cigarettes, and then on top of everything else, I had a predisposition to bronchitis.
But maybe that was because of the smoking.
Well, no, I had it before I started smoking when I was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah, when I was a kid, man, I was out of school every Christmas, it seemed like, because I couldn't breathe. And here I am at this point in my life. A pneumonia shot's a pretty good idea. I think I'm lucky, man, that I haven't come down with lung cancer. You know, I'm lucky that pneumonia I had didn't kill me, because the respiratory part of my body's just been nailed. But in any event, Steve, I interrupted you. We're talking to Stephen Bozell, and we're talking about the flu shot. And
I wanted to make the point that I've got a flu shot. I know you say you get a flu shot every year, and I wanted to say to anybody, and particularly men, because I know most men have an issue with needles, and I know for a fact that I'm talking right now to men who are listening, and they're afraid of needles, and I want to tell them to, you know, man up a little bit and go out and get the flu shot.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that when we get back.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Stephen Bozell with us here. That's an interesting point of view for Steve.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, when he calls up, he's dealing with some kind of fear he has.
Yes, he's the one who oftentimes has an issue with things that he might be afraid of.
Yeah, he does, and he's telling people to man up. I got to hear this. Our number, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. Now, as soon as you see the bid box go up on the homepage of our website, you BSPs, begin your bidding on the picture disc that I am showing on Phil TV in HD. It's as simple as that. As soon as you see that box go up. All right, guys. I'll drop the handkerchief. Let the bidding begin. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I was talking to Dan Northcraft, my our tech. Dan got a tattoo, and he actually got a tattoo that covers up a bad tattoo that he got back in the service, probably.
Well, is that these? You know something? Can I say something?
Go ahead.
These men in our military, the service people, the Army, the Navy, and so forth, they go out, they get tattoos that are vile.
I don't know that he got a vile tattoo.
Well, then why is he covering it up?
He doesn't like it anymore.
You know, it's probably, and I saw, I don't want to say, you know, Frank was in the military. Frank had a woman's posterior on his arm. And I said, well, you're not going to marry me with that. There's no way I'm not going to walk down the aisle with you while you have that somewhere on your body.
So what did he do?
He went out and he had it changed into one of those Big Daddy Roth cartoons with the big eyes and the cigar.
Big Daddy Roth? The guy with the hot rods?
Yes. So the woman's butt turned into two large eyes and then a man's face with a cigar.
Where'd the cigar come out of?
Hey, watch it.
I don't need that now, you know.
All right. Okay, so anyway, Steve Bozell is hanging on the line. We have our picture disc is there on our homepage. I got a picture of the picture disc, just in case anybody wants to know what it looks like roughly. There's a sort of a part of a picture. It's not a part of a picture. It's a pretty good representation of the picture disc. Picture discs, of course, were at one time big collector's items, and they have, from time to time, people who collect them find them and either frame them, or they just have them in their collections. It's an interesting hobby, you know.
God, what about like collecting stamps and stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's like collecting stamps. It's like anything that people engage in that they enjoy. You know, some people collect. You know, there are a lot of people. Yeah, Margaret.
Well, I had a girlfriend who collected peanuts. Now, not peanuts as in actual peanuts. She collected. What are you looking at?
Well, just. That's weird.
Well, yes, but don't look at me like I'm the freak. I'm talking about my girlfriend.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
What's he doing?
He's looking me up and down like I'm some sort of a freak.
Well, it's what you're talking about is weird.
All right, bud, you know, just...
What am I doing?
Don't look me up and down like I'm in a zoo. In any event...
And then I have to get back to Mr. Bozell?
I'm sorry, Phil. Go ahead, we can talk about this later.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. Stephen Bozell with us as we talk about flu shots. Hi, Steve, sorry.
That's all right.
All right. So,
If I could just interrupt you for a minute, Mr. Henry, I came on your program, I'd like to be the main focus of the conversation, if that's okay.
Mr. Bozell, I'm sorry. This is Margaret Gray.
Yeah, I've heard you already, ma'am.
Well, all right, but I am apologizing for taking up the time.
That's fine, ma'am.
All right, Steve, I apologize. We were coming out of a break. We had another piece of business we had to do, and I let things get away from me, so that's my fault. All right, the flu shot. Now, you were saying that you're aware that a lot of guys are afraid of needles.
Yes, sir. You know, it's a very interesting fact of life in America that there are a lot of men who are scared of getting a needle, and... You know, like I said, I want to tell those men that you got children and you've got a wife and you have people who look up to you, and you have people who want to believe that, you know, they can rely on you when things are bad, and the fact that, you know, you can't take a needle shows you to be very weak, you know, and scared. And I think it's a bad way to go through life.
What do you recommend to those guys?
Well, let me first ask you, are you afraid of them, Mr. Henry?
Am I afraid of needles?
Yes, sir.
When I was a kid, yeah.
No, but I mean as a man, as an adult.
I lost my fear of the needle sometime in my childhood. I forget when. But when I was a little kid, when I was 7 or 8, I was scared to I was scared to death. Yeah, they used to had to grab me and hold me, you know.
Okay, that's when you were a little kid, though?
Yeah, when I was in school, yeah, I lost it. I don't know when, but by the time I was in high school, it was not an issue.
Okay, what I'm asking you is, and you're being honest.
Yes, sir, I'm being honest.
All right, do you know of any...
Oh, sure, I mean, I just told the story to Dan. I said that I had a girlfriend at one time who'd been married, and she told me that that she got married in Vegas because her husband-to-be didn't want to... At that time, you had to have a blood test in the state of California to get married. And her husband-to-be did not want to have the blood test because he was afraid of the needle.
So they went all the way to Las Vegas?
They went all the way to Las Vegas to get married, yeah.
Oh, man. To me, that's the guy that's... I don't know how a guy like that can even look at... You know, if he has a son, how do you look at your son in the face? You know?
Well, I don't know. You know, I chalk it up to...
Well, if I could just finish.
Go ahead.
So if you're afraid of needles like the man you just met... I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Henry, but I want to continue my thought. If you're afraid of needles... Like that man that you was told about, who was married to that girlfriend of yours. You know, how do you look your son in the face and say, you know, your dad's afraid of needles, but hey, other than that, you know, you can rely on me. You know, how do you do that?
Well, I don't understand.
Well, I'm saying, how do you look your children in the face and say you can rely on me if you're afraid of a needle? Because in other words.
I don't know that a phobia is going to be something that'll keep you from protecting your kids. Do you think?
Well, I mean, in my case, and that's what I wanted to bring up, I had a fear of needles, but I conquered it. And I conquered it just through sheer willpower. And
well, but when you were afraid of needles, was it something that would keep you from protecting your children?
Mr. Henry, you know, that's why I conquered my fear of needles, because I realized that if something was happening to my family and whoever was hurting them had needle or, you know, threatened me with some kind of a needle, I don't know what. Now, it sounds ridiculous, but I would be, I'd have to clear the area. I'd have to back off. And
you would be so put off by a needle.
Yeah, well, yes, sir. And I don't think you understand what a needle phobia is, because you yourself said you don't have one, but. You don't understand. You know, I'm sure there's something you're afraid of. You know?
Well, I have a fear of heights.
Okay, think about that.
I'm thinking about it. If one of my kids was stranded atop a high structure, I would have no choice but to go up and get them. I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm telling you right now, going up high scares me to death. I mean, I'm sweating right now thinking about it. I literally just broke out in a sweat. But if there was somebody I loved up high someplace, I'd hang on for dear life, man. I'd go up and get them.
Well,
what?
I don't know if you can be completely honest if you think about it, you know, because I had to conquer.
Well, yes, you conquered your fear of needles. Maybe you can tell me how you did that, because in many ways, that would be what I would be doing. If I'm afraid of heights... But I see somebody I love in jeopardy, and they're in a high place that I have to go and get them. I would have to somehow find within me the physiologic as well as the psychological, you know, strength to go and conquer that fear.
Well, what I did is through sheer willpower, and maybe that's what you're talking about.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's sheer willpower. It's just saying I'm not going to be afraid. And I went in. To get it was a tetanus booster. I had to get a tetanus shot because I'd cut my hand at work, and I hadn't had a tetanus shot since I was in my 20s. And I went in and I took my wife with me, And I was frightened, and I kept holding my breath, and I kept saying, I won't be afraid, I won't be afraid, I won't be afraid. And right when the nurse was going to put the needle in, I held my breath, and my wife was there, so I was able to hold, you know, she was holding me, and I was able to hold my breath and just...
Okay, hold on for a minute, Steve.
Yes, sir.
877-876-7445. This is talking about how he conquered his fear of needles. That a lot of people have, the fear of getting a shot. We'll be right back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Talking about holding his breath. He sounds like...
Hold on.
Phil Hendry.
Woo!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, and right now what's happening at philhendryshow.com is the auctioning of a Phil Hendry Show picture disc. This is a picture disc that we produced in 2000 for our Best of 2000 CD. It's autographed. There are fewer than 1,000 of them. I know that we sold a bunch back in the day, so however many we have, it doesn't come up to 1,000. They're numbered, so they're limited edition. And you know, when you limit, you got to do it right, you know.
What do you do?
When you have limited edition, you have to put the number there.
Yeah, right there. See, 0100.
Yeah, that means there's 100 of 1,000.
That means that this is number 100 of 1,000.
That one.
This one is, yeah.
And when you sell that one, what's the next one going to be?
I don't know. I guess the next one that's available, 101 or whatever, whichever ones are there, you know.
Will you sell them in order?
I don't know if we sell them in order. Yeah, probably we sold them in order. I guess you have to sell them in order, don't you?
I don't know anything about it, but I know that there are people that...
By the way, Margaret, you have been the subject of a great deal of comment, you being in the studio. And, of course, I knew that it would. I knew that people would immediately... Because people being people, they don't like anything that's new, you know.
Well, and what is that supposed to mean?
Black people don't like you being here.
Well, ask me if I care, you know. Ask me if I...
Well, they just, you know, they don't. But as I said, it is a normal course of things that people don't like anything new, so...
Even if it's good?
They don't know it's good. Most people don't recognize what's good until you got to beat them over the head with it. All right, in any event...
So what am I? Am I good or bad?
You're fine. I mean...
Am I good or bad? That's a very easy... Oh, boy.
You're great, Margaret. You're great. We love you. All right, Steve Bozell is on the line. Don't give me that look.
Well, you know, I...
You're great, Miss Gray.
You lie.
Don't call him a liar. All right, we'll be right back here. With Margaret and Bud, but right now I'm going to get Steve Bozell back on the line here. All right, Steve. So now we're talking about being afraid of shots, and a lot of guys are afraid of shots. There's no question about that.
But the thing I wanted to mention about being afraid of shots is the needle part. Most men, and a lot of men are, and I want to say to them that you got to be a man and act like a man, you know.
All right, be a man and act like a man. Now, you conquered your fear of needles. How?
I conquered my fear of needles when I was going, as I mentioned, getting a tetanus shot. And I went to the doctor's office, and I told my wife, April, I asked her if she'd go with me because I wanted a little bit of I needed a little bit of support, you know, just getting over that first situation there. And the nurse came in with the needle and smiled, and that's when I made a move for the door, and I shouldn't have because it probably didn't make me look very mature, you know, but I...
And when you say you made a move for the door, what'd you do?
I just turned and I tried to... I made a very quick move to the door. I wanted to leave, and my wife, you know, grabbed me by the shirt, and that's when I realized I was probably making a spectacle out of myself, so I went back in and... The second thing I think that people that are afraid of needles experience is the panic when they take the alcohol and they rub your arm.
Yeah, yeah, I can well imagine.
Yeah, so she's rubbing my arm with the alcohol, and that's when I decided that I was going to you know, I was going to sweat it out or tough it out. So I just told myself, I'm going to be okay, you know. And I kept on saying it, And I that's when I asked the nurse, I said, would you please tell me when you're about to put the needle in me?
And what's happening to you right now?
I'm just kind of reliving it a little bit, but I'm okay. I said, please tell me when you're about to put the needle in, and I will, then I'm going to hold my breath. And she said, okay. I had an issue with the nurse only because, you've often referred to it, Mr. Henry, the rolled eyes and the curled lip kind of thing. And
what was she? She was showing some disdain?
A little bit, yeah.
All right. I mean, that's. I guess I don't know if there's much you can do about that.
So she said, okay, I'm about to give you the shot, and that's when I just went, and I held my breath, and it hurt bad, but as I held my breath, and as I said, it's going to be okay, and I'm trying to remember it now, I'm trying to relive it so I can, you know, communicate it to your audience, and I finally was able to just, and it hurt bad, and I kept on saying, I'm okay, and then finally she stopped, and I said to her, why did you leave the needle in? Because it seems like the nurses leave it in because there's a sadistic...
No. If you're getting an intramuscular shot, if the shot is...
Just you saying that.
No, I understand that, but there's a little bit of muscle spasm that happens. Your muscle is contracting. It isn't so much the needle that's doing anything, other than the fact that your muscle is tightening, and it causes some pain. But the nurse is not leaving the needle in longer. It's just the fact that there's a spasm there that occurs that feels as if the shot is taking forever, you know.
I asked the nurse, and I had let out with a, my wife said, to, you miserable, and I used a four-letter word. I asked her, why'd you do that? And that's when she brought the doctor in, and he asked me if I was okay. I said, yeah. He says, well, you got very angry with the nurse. I said, I called her a miserable. And I asked him, I said, why does she keep the needle in that long? And he said that she did not. He explained what you just did, Mr. Andrew, although I think it was a different explanation, and he was a doctor, so if you don't mind, I'll believe him and not what you said. And
no, that's fine. I'm not claiming to be a doctor.
All right. And so I said, all right, and we left. But as we were driving home, I asked my wife, I said, did you see how I did that? I kept saying that. And she was, I think she was amazed that I was able to conquer it with my will because she didn't say a lot. We just got home, and I went and made myself a bowl of cereal.
Did you take a nap?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did you go nap?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think you acquitted yourself very well.
What's that supposed to mean?
Let me say something. Stephen, this is Margaret Gray, okay?
I'm talking to Mr. Henry right now.
Well, I'd like to say something. You sound very childish when you had your wife go with you and you held your breath, and I'm going to be okay. You called the nurse a name, and then you went home and had a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
Those are all the things that an 8-year-old boy would do.
I agree.
Oh, you agree, huh? Yeah, okay. Have you ever had? Well, I guess you have.
Yeah, I've had plenty of shots. I've had lots and lots of shots, okay?
Okay, have you ever had a...
I've had all kinds of shots, Steve. I've had blood drawn. I've had shots in the ass. I've had shots in the arm. I've had shots in the leg. I had a shot in my ribs once.
Why'd you have a shot in your ribs?
I had a cortisone shot in my ribs because I had dislocated a rib. All right? I've had, everywhere, man. And I've never had to call the nurse a name, and I never needed to have my wife there, and I never needed to go home and have a bowl of cereal, and that's why I asked you if you took a nap.
You're saying what?
So I'm saying the following thing. It doesn't sound to me like you went through that in a very manly way.
Well, all right, ask any man, Mr. Henry, who has to have a shot, if he takes his way, they always will take their wife with them. Because
you're talking about guys that are afraid of needles, that have a phobia about needles?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what those guys do or how they deal with it. I guess they just kind of tough it out. But one thing that I don't think they do, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that they call the nurse a name or go home, have a bowl of cereal, have their wife with them.
Well, hold on. You don't know that, okay?
Well, I don't know that it isn't true. I don't know that it is true. I'm just saying that what you just described to me and what you just described to our audience did not sound very manly. It did not sound very adult. All right, and I have Margaret Gray is here.
I absolutely agree with that. To me, it sounds as if you had just you had so much fear and you had so much angst that you regressed to the level of a little boy and you decided to have mommy.
Okay, boy, that pisses me off.
You needed your mama.
Okay, lady.
I agree.
You agree, huh? No, I didn't need my mama.
Well, it sounded to me like you did, like you needed mama.
No, I didn't need my mama. I needed to have a friend who would help me through the initial stages of having a shot without...
What did you do before you toughed it out, as you just said?
What do you mean, what did I do?
What did you do before you toughed out that shot that you had? What did you do?
I
did you cry?
I didn't deal with it very well.
Well, what happened? Describe to me what happened. Did you run?
I would try to get out of the room, yeah.
As an adult man?
Yes, sir.
And what would people do? Would they grab you?
They had to bring in two, orderlies, two male nurses.
To hold you down?
Yeah.
My God, and you think that you've made a big step there by going home and having your cereal?
Lady.
So, just hold on. So you had these two orderlies grab you, and then what?
Then I would, I'd probably scream, I don't know.
You screamed?
Yes, I screamed.
Got it. I wish I would have been there. That'd be funny as hell.
Okay, I came on your program, Mr. Henry, not to be, you know there's men out there that are afraid of needles? You're making fun. You're making fun of them right now.
I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm just saying that what you did not sound like the manliest thing in the world. What it sounded like to me was, like any other guy that's afraid of a needle, you had your wife there and you held your breath. You'll conquer your fear of needles when you can stand there and say, well, here comes, and just stand there and not make an issue out of it, not have anybody there, not have anyone holding your hand, not running for the door, not wetting your pants, not anything, not going on a radio show and announcing to the whole world that you're able to tough out a shot.
I hope you're happy, Mr. Henry.
Oh, my God. That man is probably bawling like a baby right now.
No question. All right. Sorry, folks, but I thought we were going to talk to a guy that had so-called conquered his fear of needles, and what we were talking to right there didn't sound...
That wasn't a man. That was a mouse. Yeah, that was a mouse.
Okay, it was not a man. It was a mouse. All right, we're going to come right back here and take a look at what the bidding is on our picture disc on our website. And then take a look at this other story here about the unemployment numbers. They're down. The unemployment is down, but I guess somebody's got a problem with that. We'll find out what it is on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Stephen Bozell on the line. We got him back on the line here, Steve. You know, I didn't mean to make fun of you. I didn't mean to mock you. I apologize, and I apologize on behalf of my studio contributors here.
I'm sorry that I hung up, but I'm not afraid of needles anymore. I conquered my fear.
I know that, but I... Steve, you know...
Steve, can I say something?
That woman there... Okay.
Margaret, hold on.
What do you mean, Margaret, hold on?
I just, you're not making it easier at all, ma'am.
Well, I have an opinion on what you're going through, sir.
Yeah, but you're mocking me, and you're a female. Are you afraid of needles?
Sir, I've given birth to a child. I'm a woman. We can't be afraid of needles. First of all, women have a higher tolerance for pain than men.
Oh, yeah. What?
Well, that's true.
Mr. Henry, you're always taking the feminist side. What did you say, ma'am?
I said, and Phil just backed me up, women have a higher tolerance for pain than men.
Well, that's just... Mr. Henry, there's one thing about women's rights. It's another thing to just step on a man and step on him.
That it's true. I mean, there is a physiologic reality. That's a reality that women can tolerate pain longer or somehow tolerate... more pain than men. It may have to do with childbirth. It may have to do with the fact that because they do go through childbirth and they do go through a great many discomforts being women.
What do you mean a great many discomforts?
Once a month, man, they're expelling blood and tissue from their bodies, okay, for starters.
Oh, God.
Are you all right?
Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry.
What's he doing?
Are you getting sick?
No, I just... I'm okay.
What happened, sir?
Did you get sick, Steve?
That's really no concern of yours, ma'am. And I said I'm talking to Mr. Henry. Yeah. Boy, I just need a glass. Can I get some lemonade? My wife's here. Give me some lemonade.
Well, what happened? Did you get sick there?
I got nauseous.
When I mentioned what women go through?
When you met... Oh, God.
You know, Mr. Bozell, I know what's going on with you here, okay? You got a... Not only did you not conquer your fear of needles, you have a very low tolerance for anything uncomfortable.
Not true, sir. Well, you came on here and said they expel tissue and blood from their bodies. That made me nauseous, okay?
All right, well, then you live with a woman. You got a wife, right?
Of course I do.
Well, that's what she goes through.
I know that. But...
Don't you? Well, maybe you don't. Don't you go to the store and buy her tampons?
No concern of yours, sir.
Sir, I'm not trying to be intrusive. I just thought it was something that guys would talk about.
Yeah, maybe we would. Well, I'm not going to talk about it with a guy because the first thing he's going to do is make fun of me. Honey, I want some of that lemonade. It'll make me feel the sweetness will settle my stomach.
You know, Steve, I know you don't want me to say anything, but I'm going to say it anyway. Women go through an awful lot of pain and discomfort, and the fact that you can't take that, the fact that you're getting nauseous at the thought of that, makes me think that you really just don't have a great deal of stamina. And I think you should actually get a flu shot because you probably are compromised somehow physically.
I don't know anything. Everything you just said, I don't know anything.
Doesn't make any sense?
What's that?
It doesn't make any sense.
What the lady just said there, it doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, God. Hold on, I'm going to be sick.
Good God, man. I'm going to let you go, Steve.
No, hold on.
This is ridiculous. He says he's not afraid of needles. He's conquered his personal fear.
Just shut up, will you?
Who are you telling to shut up?
Would you shut up? Making me sick.
Margaret, just hold on, okay?
Who is he telling to shut up?
Please, ma'am, shut up.
Your voice is getting him sick.
Is that right? Well, maybe he should just hang up.
Please shut up.
Just be quiet for a minute, will you?
So anyway, Mr. Henry, what I was trying to say to you is I conquered my fear of needles just by butching up, you know.
Butching up? You just barfed up because you heard about a lady having her period.
Shut up, bud, will you?
Please tell it to shut up.
Hey, mister.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you ought to hang up the phone, man, and probably go settle your stomach with a nice corned beef sandwich.
What'd you do that for?
Nothing, man. That's what helps me.
Yeah.
Oh, the hell it does.
Oh, God. God.
So the corned beef sandwich? All right, Steve, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Hey, Steve, it's Margaret.
Cut it out, will you? The guy's going to puke his intestines up.
I wouldn't get around.
You're trying to tell me you settle an upset stomach with a corned beef sandwich?
Yeah, especially if it's got a little bit extra grease on it.
Get that guy off the phone, will you?
Well, what'd you hang up on him for?
No, I put him on hold, for God's sake. He's sick. I gotta hear this again. You, when you get sick to your stomach...
Yeah, a lot of times I get nauseous, you know, if you have a flu. Yeah, they have a stomach flu or something like that?
Yeah.
Sure, I've had the stomach flu.
Well, I like something that'll settle my stomach, like maybe a chicken wing.
Chicken wing?
Yeah, or chicken wing or a corned beef sandwich probably will do it, or patty melt.
A patty melt. So you guys are trying to tell me that what helps soothe your stomach is the complete opposite of what any normal human being would need.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nobody that I know with an upset stomach is going to eat a patty melt, a chicken wing, or a corned beef sandwich and do anything but what that guy was doing right there.
Puking?
Yes, puking!
I don't know, it always soothes my stomach, you know, Robert?
Oh, yeah, very soothing.
Yeah, uh-huh, very soothing. These guys are... Let me ask you something about that corned beef sandwich. You like a little Russian dressing on it?
Oh, yeah. A little Russian dressing. With a... I love that one they got in New York, the Carnegie Deli one. A big mound of cheese on top of it.
Yeah, if you get the one with the Swiss cheese melt on top, it's very soothing.
You guys are high on some chemical that I've not even heard of. Okay.
Well, that's to each his own.
Yeah, that's what makes a horse race.
To each his own, that's what makes a horse race. I got news for you. You two guys, if that's what makes a horse race, you're the only two guys betting the horse you're betting, because I've never met anybody on earth that ever soothed their stomach with a corned beef sandwich covered with melted Swiss cheese and Russian dressing.
I know, just hits the spot.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming back here with the jobless rate falling to 7.8%, but everybody's upset about that, I guess. I guess that's not good news. We'll be right back, and the bidding is open on our pincher disc on our website. It's philhenryshow.com. If you're a Backstage Pass member, you can go to the section there. It's right there on the homepage. It says bid here for the picture disc. And I think it's right now at $100, man. It's stalled there.
Yes, it is stalled, isn't it?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
All right. We're looking here. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't. And we do an awful lot with what we're handed here every night, let me tell you that much. Now, what is this?
What are you doing?
I'm looking at this comment. Oh, okay. So this is just a comment. It's not a bid, man. We're looking for bids. We're looking for bids on our picture disc. And this was a big, long comment from Razzo Ray. Okay, Ray, thank you very much. I appreciate it. If you are a collector of picture discs, and I understand that not everybody is, and if you know, I think if I say picture disc, people that know one, you know.
Well, yes, people that collect them and people that like them will know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
What about people that don't?
If they don't, then they don't. But a picture disc, and again, this is only for our Backstage Pass members. I apologize. I don't mean to take up so much time with this. But there it is on Phil TV in HD. There's a picture of it as well on the website. If you choose to bid on it, you may. Right now, Dave in Florida, man, he's going to make this a doubleheader. The bidding is open until 1 a.m. Pacific, so... there's plenty of time, but right now Dave is leading the pack. So welcome back to the show. That's one thing that's happening. Our website, of course, is open to any and all. If you have a Backstage Pass, and you can get one by going to philhenryshow.com. You can watch every night Phil TV in HD. And there are other features on Phil TV, one of which is our audio call, the radio call of the Milwaukee Lions games on Mondays. Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. And if you think you've heard play-by-play, if you think you know what a football game on radio sounds like, no, you don't.
Not this one, ma'am.
Not this. This is Gonzo meets Ray Scott. You know
who's Ray Scott?
Ray Scott was one of these old time football announcers. You know, like Van Patrick, guys like that. So anyway, check it out, philhenryshow.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry, and we're on Facebook at. And by the way, congratulations to Denise Aaron, who was the winner of a year's Backstage Pass from our website over on Facebook. Our Facebook fan page is Phil Hendry Fans. That's PHANS, facebook.com/PhilHendryFans. Now, jobless rate falls to 7.8%, but not without issue. So says this article in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics employment report issued Friday morning was better and more controversial than many economists expected. Unemployment had dropped to 7.8% in September from 8.1% in August, and total non-farm payroll employment rose by 114,000. As the penultimate unemployment report before the November 6th presidential election...
What's that mean?
What?
Penultimate or whatever.
Penultimate, as the peaking... As the penultimate would be the most visual, it would be the most, it would be the most important, the most seen, the most, you know, the most, I guess the penultimate, I think, would mean the highest.
Yes, it's in other words, it is the most looked for, the most looked at, the most visible of all the unemployment signs.
Oh.
I know it's one of them.
That's another one of them 50-cent words.
Well, 50-cent, $5, $10—I don't know what they call them anymore. All right. So, as the penultimate unemployment report before the November 6th presidential election, in which incumbent Democrat President Barack Obama will face the Republican challenger, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, the numbers took on added importance. Republicans both decried how lousy the jobless numbers were and suggested that they were rigged in the Democrats' favor. How lousy they are, and they're rigged in the Democrats' favor. Now, it's very tough, I'm telling you. It's very tough. The beginning of the summer, man, I was sitting there saying, oh, I'm probably going to vote for Romney, man. If he doesn't stick his foot in it, I'll probably vote for Romney, because I do believe that we need perhaps a much more conservative fiscal approach now that President Obama has been given... you know, he's been given the track here for 4 years to try some of these other measures. But then came Romney fudging around with things like gay rights, abortion rights, his comments about the Olympics. He sounded like an imbecile. That didn't change my mind all that much. It just a bunch of stuff together started making me think maybe this guy hasn't got his screws all of his screws are tightened down. Now, I realize a lot of it doesn't have to do with Romney. A lot of it has to do with the Republican Party or the Republican brain trust. But now, here comes one more thing that I find it very hard to understand. Don't give me this stuff. Every single thing that happens now is subject to someone's scrutiny because they think there's a conspiracy. It doesn't matter what. If it's something that somebody agrees with, if it's something that someone wishes didn't happen, they're so brilliant, they're so smart, and they are so on the right side of things that any good fortune the other side has must have been by way of conspiracy. Just has to be. After all, how could we be wrong? How could we be wrong? Congressman Mike Kelly, a Republican from Butler, that would be Pennsylvania, during a morning news conference at the Westin William Penn Hotel in downtown Pittsburgh, said, quote, when we look at the jobs report, we say, okay, there's a little bit of uptick there, but how badly did we game it? That echoed unsubstantiated comments made earlier on Twitter by Jack Welch, former CEO of General Electric. Unbelievable jobs numbers. These Chicago guys will do anything. Can't debate, so change the numbers. That's coming from a guy named Jack Welch, who I was told is a respected businessman, a guy who knows the economy, who knows what's up, a guy who has built this and built that, and he sounds like he eats with his hands. He sounds like he doesn't even belong in the modern era. He sounds like he ought to be, I don't know, strapped to a bed someplace. What the hell's wrong with a guy like that? What's your evidence, Mr. Welch? Your evidence, not rumors of what you heard. Not reports of something here. What is your evidence that they were changing numbers?
Well, you know they don't have any evidence, Phil.
Well, hold on for a minute. What do you mean they don't have any? If they don't have any evidence, then they need to shut their mouths. If they've got evidence, I want to see it.
The evidence is that Obama's come from Chicago and everything.
Shut up, man. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it does. Because
why?
Because of the Chicago politics and stuff.
Well, what about it, bud? So they're from Chicago, man. So every single guy that's from Chicago is dishonest.
Yeah, because of that Rahm Emanuel guy.
What are you talking about? You know, it's one thing to engage in barroom chit-chat about how Chicago's this, that, or something else. It's another thing to engage in barroom chit-chat about, well, you know, Rahm Emanuel, he's a real hard ass, this and that. It's something else entirely, man, to actually have evidence. And by evidence, let's talk about evidence from the forensic, from the police standpoint. What are they called? Like blood spatters, okay? Like a spent shell casing. So where is the actual physicality here? Where are the, where's the physical evidence that numbers have been changed? Is there a person that talked to someone and they have proof? Is there are there documents? Where is it? Where is it, Welch? Or are you, Mr. Welch, engaging in a kind of Wall Street paranoia so that you can watch? Here's some real paranoia for you. Jack Welch just said what he said, so certain stocks will tank. So Jack Welch can get fat on people getting scared and paranoid about Obama. What do you think of that?
Well, I would buy that.
What does that mean?
It means if you want to engage in paranoid conspiracy stuff, like Jack Welch, the former CEO of General Electric, was doing, then why don't I say the following? Jack Welch is making these comments so that certain stocks may tank, so that certain people may run from certain funds so that he can cash in. And he doesn't believe what he's saying at all.
He's not going to do that. The Republicans just want to get away from Obama.
Man, you know what? You don't have any... you don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what you're talking about, and you say that I'll...
Bud, you look at man. You know, I don't want to get in the middle of you and Robert, but you're what are you talking about? You're saying...
Yeah, see, Phil knows.
Hold on.
Just that Obama... Why can't he do it?
To say, why can't a guy do it, is not the same thing as saying the guy did it. To say, for instance, that a missile could have shot United 93 out of the sky is not the same thing as saying a missile did shoot United 93 out of the sky. To say that explosives were placed in the tower, see what I'm saying, about like 9/11, okay?
Yeah.
To say that there was a guy on the grassy knoll shooting Kennedy doesn't necessarily mean that there was. You have to go about proving. I mean, if you look at the Kennedy assassination, for the last almost 60 years, it'll be 60 years next year. I can't believe it, but it will be 60 years next year since the murder of John Kennedy. And it's taken 60 years. It's taken 60 years for us to get this bullcrap out of our system about the guy on the grassy knoll and about there were 15 different guys with guns and the this and the that and the something else, you know.
So you think it was just one gunman?
Yes, I do. And you want to know why? Because I've seen people actually try and make the case for the grassy knoll gunman, not because they really believed it, but because they were engaged in the empirical process that you use when you want to, prove something is wrong. You first try to prove that it's right.
Yeah, you've said that before, man. I don't get that.
Well, I mean, just in the case of like the grassy knoll, what they did was, okay, let's take a look at this image that everybody says was a guy behind the wall. Let's take a look at five or six different shots that they have of that. Let's take a look at five or six different angles. Let's take a look at the wall. How big is the wall? How far away was he from Kennedy? What was the angle of the shot? What kind of a shot did he have? Was it an open shot? Was it a clear shot? How many people were on the hill in front of him? Was he even able to take aim and fire that shot? What angle would that shot have entered Kennedy's head at? And what exactly was the angle of the shot that did enter Kennedy's head? All of these things taken into consideration. Okay?
Yes.
And they found out, number one, the guy behind the wall would have had to have been 3 feet tall because the wall wasn't tall enough for someone, you know.
Well, it could have been kneeling down.
No, they tried that. Kneel down, a man regular size kneeling down, okay, is still not going to have any kind of a shot, given how awkward the angle would be, even for a guy kneeling behind that wall with the kind of rifle he would have needed to have had, with the type of shot that he would need to have gotten off, and he would have had a window of opportunity from that wall that was very, very small, very slight. So I've seen a million of these things, and it all comes back to the same thing. Oswald was the guy. Now we get here to the unemployment numbers. Until somebody wants to show me what it is they're talking about, that Obama is messing with the numbers, then what these people ought to do is just shut up and suck it up, man. You were wrong. The unemployment numbers are down. Maybe there's something about your thinking on the economy that's off. Maybe there's something about what's going on that your thinking is off. Maybe you guys have made a mistake somewhere. How about you just owning up to that? I think people would respect you a lot more. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
famous Bill Hendry Show.
All right, we were going to bring Dean Wheeler on, weren't we? And it had to do with the do we still have Dean?
Yeah, he's hanging on, but if this buzz out, you want me to call him back?
Well, Mr. Bozell, all right, let's get Dean Wheeler back on here, and I have Mr. Stephen Bozell. Call him back, please, bud. Yes, thank you. To answer your question, I'm sorry. And I know that Dean, are they in the middle of the...
I think they're in the middle of one of the first ceremonies that they do every evening.
All right, so I don't know. What is this?
Well, this is the ceremony of the pure water, and this is, it is the purification of mind. It is the purification of spirit.
Why do you know about it?
What?
Why do you know about it?
Because I've studied. What do you mean, why do I know? I've studied up on it. Please. This is... Let me start all over again. This is... Would you please be quiet?
Why are we whispering, Margaret?
Because the purification's kind of... Hold on. Let's see if he's... Dean? Hi, Dean?
Yes, this is Dean Wheeler.
Hi, Dean. Are we too loud?
Let's just talk hold on. And now, okay, yeah, the purification has begun. We're in the middle of our evening purification, Phil. And we have the dance troupe here. And I was hoping Mr. Bozell would be there so we could...
I got him on the phone now.
Oh, God, would you tell him to shut up?
Shh.
What?
Shh, be quiet.
Please.
Okay, bud, why are we being quiet, though?
Because in the purification, there are elements in the universe, there are elements in the environment, and in elements in nature and in the environment that protect us. And in the purification process, we don't want to scare them away. And when there's loud noise...
Yes, and that's why I told you, bud, be quiet.
Yeah, I got him on the phone.
Would you be quiet?
Keep it down, bud.
He's frightening them.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are these beings?
What?
Are they beings? Are they living things?
No. They're elements. They're elements. They're as if they were stars.
So how can they be scared?
Well, they get frightened. They're shy.
Phil, it's very difficult to understand.
How do you know about this?
Why am I not allowed to know about these things? Be quiet.
Yeah, be quiet.
No, I'm not going to be quiet. I've got a radio show I got to do.
Would you shut up? You probably scared a bunch of them away.
Well, we're going to have to risk that.
You're very harsh, Mr. Hendry. There's
something about your manner this evening, Phil, that is... It's an attack. You're in attack mode.
No, I'm not. I'm asking to speak at a regular tone of voice, as I always do... With you people. Is he there?
Yeah, Mr. Bozell, you're going to have to be quiet.
Quiet.
Mr. Bozell, you got to be quiet. No, lower. Lower.
Shut up, bud.
Be quiet.
Lower. What? I don't know. It's pretty gay.
Wait, who called me gay?
Nobody called.
Be quiet.
Okay, here he is.
I was told I'm supposed to be quiet. Mr. Bozell, hi, it's Dean Wheeler.
Yes, sir. What did I do?
You've got to be quiet. The purification is now at its penultimate.
There's that word again.
Yes, that's the word, and it's a very good word, and it means it is ready to... Well, I shouldn't say the word because it's not sexual. It's ready to, let's call it, spurt.
Oh, God.
Oh, what's the problem?
Phil, it's religious.
I don't care. All right, have we finished? And okay, great. So I think I've heard the troupe at least, and they're playing.
Yes. All right. Now, and I don't know how much damage has been done by you people talking at such a high.
What about me, Dean? I was quiet, wasn't I?
Yes, Margaret, you were fine. But the other people there, Phil and the other ones.
What about me? I wasn't even on the air.
I know, but you give off, Mr. Bozell, I have to tell you, you give off such a troubled, there is an external energy from you that's very troubled.
I'm trying to do the best I can, but I've told Mr. Hendry that I had a shot today, and I sucked it up, and I butched it up. I butched and did everything I had to do, and I came home, I had a bowl of cereal, and next thing you know, everybody's laughing at me.
what I'd like to do is do something with you to try to conquer your fear of needles, because I don't think you've actually done that.
I think I have, and I sure don't need anybody playing flutes, you know?
Yeah, but a flute music gotta purify you.
I don't need to be purified, sir. All right, I'm as pure as, you know, as a baby's you-know-what.
Yeah, we're gonna need to go through one more round of this, so please lower it. Now, say it again.
I said I'm as pure as a baby's you-know-what. I've been working real hard trying to overcome the thing.
I know, but when you cry and wet yourself...
I didn't wet myself. All I did...
Why are we having to whisper? Phil, because you don't want to scare away the elements.
Yeah, Phil, we don't want to scare the elements.
Go ahead, have your conversation.
Anyway, as I was trying to say, I went in, and I sat down, and I... Yeah! What did you just do?
What happened?
My daughter just got... You can't do that! My daughter poked me with a needle.
Oh, God! No, don't go. Don't leave. Please don't leave. Don't leave.
Oh, Dean, what happened?
The elements have been frightened.
All right, Dean, I'm sorry.
So what are you saying now? You're saying you're just going to go ahead and hang up? You've frightened away the penultimate elements of the universe and the environment that could protect us. What have you done? You're leaving now?
I'm sorry, sir. My daughter came up behind me with a knitting needle. She thought it was funny and stuck it right in my...
Your daughter did what?
I said my daughter stuck me with a knitting needle right in my behind.
Well, I don't care about that. Why can't you butch it up?
I've tried to butch up, but I told you that I've tried, and Mr. Henry laughed. And...
That's why the guy is having a problem. You understand?
All right. I guess we're going to have to do it without the ceremony. And
no, we're not going to do anything. We're all done. Thank you very much.
Well, that's real. That's cheap. Because we're giving away the CDs only to...
I'm sorry, Mr. Bozell, sir, and I'm sorry, Mr. Wheeler. I've got to... I got to keep on keeping on, man, okay? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, what's wrong?
I'm not going to do some jackass ceremony. Everybody's got to whisper.
Phil Henry.
The guy anymore. I've had that guy on long enough. If you're afraid of needles, you're afraid of needles. What do you want me to do about it, you know? I'm not judging a guy if he doesn't know if he's afraid of getting a shot.
Well, you know, Phil, there are a lot of men. I think he was right about it. There was an awful lot of men who are afraid of getting shots. And they do behave rather silly.
Well, I mean, but you can't let your fear of having a shot keep you from doing things you need to do for your health. Like, I went out, I got a flu shot, and I ain't saying this is Dan and I were talking. I was kidding him about it. That's not his problem. He just, you know... He doesn't need one. But if you feel like you do, but you don't go and get one because you're afraid of the doctor hitting you with a needle, I mean, come on. Grow the hell up. Because there comes a time where you have to just, you know, I don't know what it is. I can...
Well, you said you conquered. How'd you conquer all the fear of that?
Oh, I don't remember having to do anything. I just remember going, oh, here comes a shot. You know, I don't, you know, it stings a little. And whatever the hell, I don't give a damn. Let me tell you something, man. When you're sick, you would rather they stick you with a needle.
What?
If you're sick, why wouldn't you want to have a needle if it's going to make you better?
Yeah, but I mean, it's still...
Are you afraid of getting a shot?
Yeah, you're afraid of getting a shot, ain't you?
No, I'm not.
Uh-huh. I can tell a guy that's all, you know, saying he's not too many times, you know.
I'm not afraid of a needle, but you're saying, what's that mean if you're sick?
Let me tell you, I'll give you a classic example. One time I had... a bad tooth, man. I didn't know it at the time, but I needed a root canal. I was in agony. I was in Miami. I'll never forget it. And it was a weekend. And my dentist wasn't anywhere around. You know, I mean, the cat was closed up, dude. And I tried calling him, and I got the service. And I said, well, you know, he'll be back on Monday, and the doctor can write you a prescription for the pain and all this stuff. I said, okay, fine. But in the meantime... You know, he's writing me a prescription for the pain, but I'm having to, you know, drop these pain pills. By the time I got into his office on that Monday morning, I was in sheer hell. When he pulled out that big-ass chrome needle that they used...
Man, don't talk about it, man.
Yeah, you're afraid of it.
Everybody's afraid of that needle. That's a needle everybody's afraid of.
Well, I'll admit to you, it's a disquieting-looking thing, but I'm not afraid of it because I'm going to tell you this. When he pulled that, you know that dentist needle they used?
Oh, that's a real big needle. And it's got, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one, I don't even know, I don't think they should use that.
Why?
Because they're putting it in your gums and stuff. It can't be safe.
They know what they're doing. Anyway, I mean, I was in pain. And when he pulled that needle out, that dentist needle that they have, and it's got a needle on it, you know, like a foot long, and the guy says, okay, here it comes. Yoo-hoo! Man, I was the happiest guy on earth.
You're kidding.
Why wouldn't I be? Are you nuts? Why wouldn't I be?
Because of the needle.
Are you listening to what I'm saying, man, or do I have to scream? I was in agony. He was about to hit me with Novocaine, man. He was about to give me the final relief that I needed so he could fix my tooth, man. I'd been spending 2 days in hell. I was in hell. And now came, and I'll never forget him saying, you know, he says, well, now, Phil, I hit you. You know, I shot it up about 7 times. Give me 7 shots, okay?
7?
Yeah, haven't you ever had a freaking filling, man? They give you a lot of shots.
Yeah, you just can't feel it after the first one.
Really?
Yeah, you idiot. You don't know he's... What, do you think he just gives you one shot?
It's like that.
No, he's giving you like 5 or 6, man. He's hitting, you know, he's getting it from all sides. You can't feel it because, like Robert said, the first one all numbed you out.
Oh.
What a baby.
No.
Yeah, you're a baby. You're a big, fat baby.
Hey, bud, does this... Do you recognize this?
Shut up!
Yeah, man, you recognize that. I better go get a baby bottle.
Be quiet.
Well, you know, if you asked for it. So anyway, this guy, he's got this needle. He says to me, now I gave you about 7 shots, Phil. If you need more, let me know, right?
What'd you say?
I sure as hell let him know, because at one point, I was, you know, I was feeling discomfort. I said, yeah, go ahead and, he said, yeah, go ahead and give me about 8 more, man. I'm telling you.
So did he gave you 8?
Yeah, because this guy was fantastic too, because he was having a hard time, I remember. He couldn't identify. He was having a hard time identifying where the actual, which tooth was actually giving me trouble. So he, by process of elimination, he says, does it still hurt? I said, yes. So by process of elimination, he was numbing all the way around it until he got the right nerve, and then it was okay. But it was bad, man. It was the kind of toothache I had that I could feel it in the roof of my mouth. If I ate anything, any kind of sweet or salt, anything would just, it drove me nuts. Why would you be afraid of something that is going to give you relief, man? You know?
Well, I just...
I realize that the whole needle thing is a psychological thing that is very difficult for people to overcome. Like I said, I compare it to my fear of heights, you know.
Yes, but a fear of heights is logical. I mean, if you fall from a height, you're going to be very injured. But the needle isn't going to injure you.
Well, you don't know that. I mean, I heard about one time a guy got shot with a bubble of air and his heart blew up.
That's bullcrap, okay?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. That's complete and utter bullcrap. A bubble of air and his heart blew up. There is a method that you're supposed to obviously adhere to as a doctor or a nurse in giving shots, but a bubble of air in the needle is not going to blow your heart up.
That's what I heard. Guy said his heart blew up out of his chest and everything, man.
Did his head blow up? I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be funny.
Yeah, I think it did.
Oh, will you get out of here?
I'm just telling you what a guy told me.
Oh, great. Well, you know what a guy told me one time, man? Is that there was a whole bunch of peyote growing on top of a mountain, and if I just climbed... Well, I better not say.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you just said it.
No, I didn't. I'm just kidding.
You climb up the mountain?
All afternoon. I mean, No, I didn't, and I just didn't do it. Okay, so let's take a look at other news. Now, this whole thing that I was telling you about the job numbers, you know what? Take it and stick it there, Jack. I noticed the stock market did well. I mean, the Dow was up, but I believe the NASDAQ was down. The S&P was down. You probably got Jack Welch to thank for that with his big fat mouth. What do you think?
I don't doubt it. I think when a man like that speaks, people are going to obviously run off and do things based upon what they they hear him sing, you know, but I think it's very irresponsible.
Absolutely irresponsible. I don't know what's wrong with a guy like that. You know, I'll never trust a guy like that again. I thought Jack Welch was a guy that they said was a man to be listened to, a man to be taken seriously, a man who was, you know, very familiar with the economy and familiar with business and was one of those reliable guys. When he comes out with a statement like that, you wonder if you're dealing with a guy who's got all of his marbles, and the answer is, I don't think so. All right, let's take a look at some of the baseball news. Then we're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445 is our number. And, of course, we have the weekend coming up. And don't forget, we're online here at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. There is over 5,000 hours of great audio that you can listen to, 5,000 hours of full shows from our website. The Orioles will host the New York Yankees on Sunday, I believe, in the one of the playoff games. The Baltimore Orioles' improbable ride continued on Friday when they hammered the two-time defending American League champion Texas Rangers 5-1 in Major League Baseball's first one-game AL wildcard showdown. Oh, I see. Okay. So that was the one-game playoff.
Yeah, that's what they're doing on playoffs.
Left-hander Joe Saunders, who was 0 for 6 with a 9.38 earned run average in six previous starts at Rangers ballpark, held Texas to one run on six hits and a walk through 5 2/3 innings with four strikeouts. Now, how likely do you think it is when you say we got a guy going here who's 0-6 with a 9.38 earned run average in his six previous starts in Texas, and we're going to run this guy in the wild card, the one-game playoff. How do you feel about that, Mr. and Mrs. Fan?
They probably want to lynch the guy.
Exactly. You guys aren't baseball fans, are you?
I don't care at all, no.
No, I don't care.
Well, I'm not a baseball fan, but this is fascinating. And I'll bet you this, that if they would have lost, there would have been, I don't want to consider it. As a baseball player and an athlete, you always want to prove people wrong, Saunders told reporters. We strive on that, and I strive on that, too. No one really gave me a chance, and I wanted to go out there and prove people wrong. It was a little dicey in the first inning, walking Kinsler to lead off and then just got a big double play. I just kept telling myself, hey, minimize damage, keep us in the game. I got some big double plays against a really great team. Hats off to our defense, and we got some really clutch hits. For Texas sluggers, Josh Hamilton and Adrian Beltre were a combined 0-for-8 in the middle of the order, and Japanese starter Wu Darvish went...
That's not a Japanese name.
Yeah, what's Darvish mean?
Maybe he has Darvish. Maybe his father's Welsh.
Welsh?
Well...
It says Japanese starter Wu Darvish. I don't know. Maybe it's a Japanese name.
I don't think so. I think it sounds... It sounds Finnish or Welsh.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? You don't know anything about it.
Well, that's a pretty good combination.
What is?
Japanese and Welsh.
Welsh, not Welch.
I thought it was Welch.
No, that Jack Welch. Welsh is something else. He went 6 2/3 innings, allowing 3 runs on 5 hits while striking out 7. It was a crushing end to the 2012 campaign for the Texas Rangers, who had a 4-game division lead with 6 to play. Wow! I'm sorry I didn't pay attention to the baseball season this year. It sounds pretty good. But lost the AL West crown after dropping 9 of their last 13 regular season games. Hey, it's baseball. It happens.
What do you mean it happens, man? That's a big collapse.
Yeah, but it happens a lot in baseball. Are you crazy? You out of your mind? It's been happening since baseball. It's been happening since professional Major League Baseball and any other kind of baseball you want to talk about started. It's been happening for over 100 years, over 120 years. Leads in August turn to garbage in September. Even leads in September turn to garbage by the time October rolls around. That's just the way it is. Rangers manager Ron Washington said, we didn't get it done. It came down to being able to execute against good pitching, and it wasn't the base hits or anything like that. It was just the fundamentals. I thought Darvish did a great job for us. He actually kept us in the ballgame. They only put one run on the board. Even if they don't get any more, the sacrifice fly they got in the first and third situation, that won the ball game. We didn't score another run. He did his job. Both teams scored in the first inning before the Orioles went ahead in the ninth. All right, back in the playoffs for the first time since 1997, Baltimore now heads home to host the AL East champion New York Yankees in the opening game of the best-of-five divisional series on Sunday. And that will be very interesting. The Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles. So there's a good old-school matchup.
Yeah, the Baltimore Orioles, man. You were talking about them the other night.
Wasn't that the team you said broke your heart when you were a little boy?
Yeah, well, among the many. New York Yankees, Baltimore Orioles. If you grow up a Dodger fan, you grow up a National League fan, that tends to happen. American League teams break your heart.
Yeah, what about the Angels there, American League?
I only became an Angel fan when Mike Socia took over as manager, and they, because he's an ex-Dodger, and I wanted to see him do well. And he has done well, even though the Angels have, I don't know. Where are they this year?
I don't know.
All right. Well, in any event, we'll get back to that and more here on the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth
and, hook us
is
up
our
on
bitch.
Twitter, too, baby.
The Phil Henry Show.
Twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. See that. Dan found a site where there's old 19th century dental equipment.
Well, what? Got sadistic or something?
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
I do. He said he found a site where the doctors back in the 19th century, they used to use a...
Cut it out!
Oh, grow up, will you?
That is absolutely... Oh, my God, that's medieval.
Yeah, they use... Look at that. See that?
What is that?
That's what they... An old needle. And, sometimes they just had to tie you down, man, and gag you so you wouldn't scream too loud.
Shut up!
I'm telling you the truth, bud. I wouldn't lie to you. They had to tie your ass down and shove a gag in your face so you wouldn't scream.
I'll bet you, man, back in the old days, like Ted Bundy, he'd be a good doctor.
Oh, Ted Bundy would have had a great time.
Oh, sure, yeah. You know, I'll bet you anything, though, that's not a bad point. Some of the doctors that practiced in the 19th century, some of them must have been real sadists, you know, or psychopaths. And I'll bet you when they finally did develop pain relief and anesthesia, those guys must have been the most bummed out guys in the world.
Bet you a bunch of them committed suicide.
Probably.
Are you serious?
No, I don't know. Who knows what lurks in the hearts of men, as the line from The Shadow used to say.
What's that?
The Shadow was an old radio show. They used to say, who knows what lurks in the hearts of in the minds of men.
What?
Look, man, I don't know what it is. It's some goofy old show, okay?
It was called The Shadow, and it was on television, right? Or...
It was on radio.
What did the guy say?
What do you mean, what did the guy say?
You said, who knows what lurks in the mind?
Oh, yeah, no, the thing would say, the guy, the announcer would say, who knows what lurks... In the heart and the mind of man, the shadow knows.
What? What does that mean? Is that guy a cop?
I think he was a cop, yeah.
Well, I don't understand, man. He's like a vampire?
No, it wasn't a vampire. It was a real guy. Right, Margaret?
Well, you're asking. I don't know. I could get Frank on the phone.
Get Frank. Maybe he knows.
Did you talk about a cop being a shadow?
Well, I think he was a cop or something. He might have been a private eye. He wasn't a real shadow. He was a guy.
Well, what's a shadow?
The shadow was the shadow that he cast, I guess. I don't know what the hell he was. But in any event, he had that line, who knows what lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows. And, is that Mr. Gray? Hey, Frank?
Frank Gray here, hello.
Hey, Frank, what you doing?
I'm taking a bath, if it's anybody's business.
It's Phil Henry.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, how are you?
I'm better than Custer. Listen, I'm taking a bath. Margaret there, I need to...
Frank, it's Margaret. What do you need, darling?
Where is that soap? Let me get to the other phone here. All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
I can hear you, Frank.
Right. Where's that soap? Where's the soap that you use? I like the soap.
Well, you don't... Are you talking about the chamomile soap?
No, I'm not talking about the chamomile. Not the girl's soap. Where's the soap you got for me?
Oh, the soap I got for the lava?
Not the lava, no. Where is it? Where's the soap?
What kind of soap do you need, man?
I need to talk to my wife. She got the soap.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
I asked you to go get regular soap. I didn't want any of that stuff that you got.
Oh, all right. You mean the Zest?
Yeah, there you are. Zest. Where is it?
It's in the cabinet just below the sink.
All right, I got to get the Zest, because she's got this soap, Phil. I'm sure you understand.
Hey, you're using the right gender.
What?
It happens sometimes, especially when he's in hot water.
When he's in hot water, literally? Or
no, when he's in a tub, he can...
I don't know what you're talking
about. You know what? You got to keep him in a bathtub all the time.
Why? So he, people can understand him?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Nothing, Frank. Hold on. He's getting the gender right while he's sitting in hot water?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Every time we have him on the air, man, I would really appreciate if someone would stick his ass in a tub then.
That's ridiculous.
What can I do for you?
I was going to ask you about a show, an old radio show.
Huh?
And it was called The Shadow?
The Shadow, yeah. I know about The Shadow.
What was that about?
Well, The Shadow was about a guy that was a shadow. And what it was this. The Shadow was creeping around or something, only it wasn't a bad kind of shadow. You know, you figure if a shadow's creeping around, looking in windows and trying to get a look, right? And
kind of like what you do when I take a bath, huh, Frank?
What?
What you do when I take a bath, right?
I can't hear you.
What you... Never mind.
I didn't hear.
She says what you do when she's taking a bath.
What do I do?
Never mind, Frank.
All right, so the shadow would look in bedroom windows and the shadow would get its kicks that way, you know?
Well, what was the shadow would look in bedroom windows and get its kicks? I thought it was I thought the shadow was a guy, and...
Well, the shadow was a guy.
I thought the shadow was some form of law enforcement.
No. The shadow was something that lurked around and got its kicks looking in windows.
Well, was it good or bad?
Well, it was neither, because the shadow knew what lurked in the hearts of the mind of a man. Okay.
In the what are you doing, man?
I lost the soap here. I gotta find it. Where is it here? There it is. Down there at the bottom of the tub. I gotta reach down.
Be careful.
Maybe I ought to sit down.
What are you doing? You're standing up in the tub?
Yeah.
You're supposed to sit down in a tub, man.
Oh, okay. I always used to wonder, what's the kick with taking a bath, you know?
And I keep telling you to sit down. Don't pretend Phil thinks you don't know that.
I forget.
So you stand up when you take a bath?
Yeah. Let me sit down here. Get some water going. So the shadow...
Hold on.
Can you hear me, Phil?
Yeah.
It would take a look at people when they were getting out of their clothes. I don't know what it was doing, but it was. And then the shadow at the end of the show would recap what it saw. And it would say, aha, you know, Mr. Brown and Mrs. Jones, see what they did? They had an affair, and now they're dead. So let that be a lesson to you.
Oh, so the shadow was almost like the watcher. He would, or it would, sort of overview what happened, and it was a moral to the story.
Yeah, yeah, tell the story about what happened. And then Phil, the shadow, I don't know, it might have masturbated. Well, I don't think the shadow masturbated.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and Phil TV and HD on our website, philhendryshow.com. If you visit us over there, you get a backstage pass, and we've left the El Pacifico momentarily here. It looks like we're somewhere like Wilshire Boulevard, and everybody's speeding there.
Yeah, look at all those cars, man. It'd be a cop.
Should get a cop over there, man, because all of those cars are just hauling ass. All right, now, as you can see here, if you can see, and if you can't, I apologize,
get a backstage pass, you see it.
That's true. Anyway, there's the Phil Hendry picture disc of the year 2000. We have it for bid on our website right now. Right now, Dave in Florida with $100 bid. That's a pretty good bid. I mean, it is. I would say that that's probably even a pretty fair price. But for $101, it could be yours. But Dave's a good guy, and we don't mind him winning, if indeed he do or does or do dat, something like that.
Well, I could call. Is Frank? We had Frank on the line, didn't we?
We had Frank on the line. I don't want to talk anymore about that.
Well, he had the answer though on the whistler or
no? It's called the stranger.
Not the stranger. The shadow.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the shadow.
Well, he said that the shadow, we were talking, folks, about that. I don't know how the hell we got into this. How did we get into it?
You were the one that said no one knows what lurks in the mind.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, all I said was nobody knows what lurks in the mind of man or whatever the hell that line was. And then Bud asked me, what the hell is that? And I said, it's the shadow. And he says, what's that? And I go, it's a TV show that used to be on. And then somebody said, no, it wasn't. It was a radio show.
Yeah, I said it was a radio.
Okay. And I said, well, I don't know what it's about. I thought he was a cop that they called the shadow. And Frank said, no, it was a shadow, was just this thing that floated through the show, right?
Yeah, well, what Frank said was, the shadow was, what do you mean, a thing that floated through the show?
That's what he said. He said it, and sometimes it masturbated.
He did not say that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Do you think maybe he was kidding?
Well, yeah, I thought he was kidding, but then he went back to his tub.
Which, by the way, that was another thing. Him sitting in hot water, or standing in hot water, as I came to find out, he loses his gender confusion.
Oh, we've known that for years.
Well, then what...
Well, what do you want us to do, Phil? Have Frank sitting in a hot tub all the time?
Well, what is it that does that? I mean, maybe it's some kind of a therapy, right?
Well, yeah, it's just sitting in hot water helps him relax, and then he remembers which gender he's supposed to use.
Well, then maybe he needs to relax.
Well, no kidding, isn't he? Folks, Phil just said Frank needs to relax. No kidding.
Well, maybe you need to, pardon me for saying this, relax him.
That's our business, thank you very much.
Yeah, but all Mr. Henry said...
That's our business, thank you very much.
Margaret, I'm not meaning anything, okay?
That is our business, thank you very much.
I understand, I'm not trying to... believe me, I'm not trying to be impolite. I'm just saying that, whatever it may be, you know.
Frank likes to relax, Phil. It isn't the relaxation. Somehow the hot water is therapeutic as he stands or sits in it. So the doctor said to him, well, do a lot of hot tubs. And so he started doing those.
Standing in them.
Well, I didn't know that. I said, Frank, are you in the tub? And he said, yes.
Hasn't he ever taken a bath before in his life?
Phil, he takes showers. I don't know. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, what, do you take baths, Miss Harry?
Excuse me?
You take a bath?
Most men take showers.
Yeah, it's...
Wait a second. Don't start looking at me like I'm some kind of a weird ass. Yeah, I take baths. Of course I do.
Okay.
What for, man? You gotta... What, you light candles, too?
Yeah, man, probably like candles. Have one of them pillows.
Oh, Phil, please tell me that you don't light candles.
No, I don't light candles. Sometimes I take a bath if my muscles are sore, okay? Sometimes I take a bath to help me sleep. You know, I got insomnia. All right?
Yeah, that's a good excuse.
Good excuse? What are you trying to say, anyway?
I just don't think, like, a guy gonna take a bath. Every woman take a bath.
Everyone knows that baths are for women.
Let me tell you something about bathtubs, okay? First of all, they're the biggest waste of space in the history of the world. Hardly anybody ever uses a bathtub. When a woman takes a bath, which is maybe once or a couple times... You know, a month. You know, how often do women have... you know, Margaret, you seem to think that women have got more time to take baths.
I didn't say that. I said that the people that are more... Don't try to turn this around on me.
Well, I am. Or what, have women got all this leisure time and all they can do is take baths?
I didn't say that. I said it tends to be women who take the baths.
Okay. I think bathtubs... I agree with that guy, what's the guy? Andy Rooney. Remember him? God rest his soul. He said what a lot of people were thinking. What a waste of space a freaking bathtub is.
Well, tell that to the many women who do use bathtubs, especially a woman like me, because... Excuse me, I'm not finished.
Okay, I was just going to say something.
I'm not finished. Because,
Well, okay, do you need to say it?
All right, thank you.
What's he going to say?
It has to do with her girl time.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Well, that's great, Margaret.
What's great?
Nothing. I just, you know, you made your point. You win again. You know, I take a bath. I'm a freak. You take a bath, and that's normal because you have all these physical problems, and bathtubs are really cool, except for guys. All right.
Well, I didn't say that you were a homosexual. I'm saying that it's a little... It's disturbing, that's all.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say, Mr. Henry. It's a little bit disturbing.
What's disturbing about... You got to be kidding me. I've taken baths my whole life, as many men have. I take them when I feel like relaxing. I take them when I'm tired as hell. I take them especially if I'm sore. I take them if I get a headache. and there isn't any aspirin, or the aspirin's not working, sometimes I take a bath. I took baths. Let me tell you what, man, when I was coming down with pneumonia, I was in that bathtub every half hour.
Why?
Because I was aching like a son of a bitch. You crazy? I mean, when you get the flu, man, every part of my body hurt. I couldn't cough, and it didn't hurt from the top of my head to my toes. And the only thing that gave me temporary relief, temporary, not full relief, temporary, was the bathtub.
So you had pneumonia once. What's your excuse the other, whatever it was, 58 years of your life?
Yeah, what's the excuse?
You shut up. All right.
Are you going to change the subject?
Yeah, I am, Margaret, because it's kind of boring, and you made your point, and I guess since I take baths, then I'm just one of the girls, and you better take more baths, or you're going to be one of the guys.
What's that crack mean?
It means the more baths you take, I guess the more feminine you are, so you should double up on your baths so you don't start growing a beard.
Yeah! Yeah! Ow!
You don't laugh at all. This one here gets to laugh because I'm racially tolerant. Henry laughs because he's the host. You get no free rein.
Yeah, on account of she's liberal.
Yeah, you hit?
Oh, quit pretending you're hurt.
She barely hit you, bud. She hit the papers is what she did. All right, that is fantastic. Thank you very much, Margaret, for your commentary on bathtubs. That was much needed. We'll be right back here with more from our news and information thing, including the success of the urban cougar, and I'm not talking about women now. We're actually talking about actual, you know, the cougar.
Yeah, they're all over the place, man.
Well, apparently, not so much cougars. I should say coyotes.
Same thing when you're talking about women.
Same thing when you're talking about women?
Yeah, you call her a cougar or a coyote. Same thing.
Yeah, a coyote's like a good-looking older woman, but she's kind of, you know, another year and it won't be worth it.
Okay, I gotta wait till I hear this. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
No, I haven't heard that.
The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, world famous and all that, till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The weekend is upon us. There's bound to be football, obviously. I haven't followed, I follow USC, our local college. I do follow other colleges from the country. I follow Georgia. I follow Florida State. I follow...
Why do you follow Florida State? Do you live down there?
Because I live down there, yeah. Yeah, I even follow the fortunes of the Golden Gophers.
Now what is that, anyway?
That's a team, man. That's a team. What do you mean, what is that?
Well, what is that? Is that what the students call it? Is that the official name?
That's the official name. The Golden Gophers of Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. All right, yeah.
Why do you call them that, though?
Because, I don't know, because there's gophers up there, man. Because there's gophers up there.
Well, man, they got gophers everywhere. They call them the Golden Gopher because that's a special gopher, I guess. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny or anything.
Well, it's funny how it's coming out funny, though, you know.
But, yeah, it is kind of funny, but I mean, they call it a golden gopher, you know.
They call it the golden gopher. Golden.
Oh, I thought it was golden gopher. I don't know what that means.
Well, what did you think? Was her name?
Yeah, I thought it was like remember the Israeli prime minister, Golda Meir?
And you thought they called the gopher Golda?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's possible.
Well, what is that? I don't understand, but do you think they're Jewish or something?
I don't know.
Golda Gopher. So the Minnesota Golda Gopher was what then?
That's the name of the team.
The team is a woman's name.
It's not a woman. It's a gopher. It's a lady gopher.
What's that mean, though, man? It doesn't mean anything. You know, a lot of stuff you think about doesn't mean a damn thing. You know that?
A lot of stuff you think about doesn't mean anything.
Well, wait a minute. No, well, we're just trying to figure out how this came into your head, man, because the Golden Gophers, all right, I get that you misunderstood. You thought it was Golda Gopher, but that was the name of the team, and
I didn't know if it's the name of the team, or I didn't know if it's the name of the lady that ran the school. I just knew that Minnesota is where Golda Gopher was.
It's possible.
Well, I think that, you know what, Bud, you really need to think of things a little bit harder before you accept everything. You're very lazy with your thinking, very lazy.
Well,
All right, take it easy, everybody. All right, who gives a sweet damn? Somebody asked me, do I have any college teams? Yeah, there you go.
Golden Gopher.
Not Golden Gopher, Golden Gophers.
Telling me to take it easy.
Well, how many times I got to tell this? Anyway, so yeah, I follow those guys. Not anymore, though. Now Bud has taken me completely off of following the Golden Gophers. I'll never follow their football team again.
All because of what I did.
Yes. Because now all I'll be able to think of is Golda Gopher. I'll be drawing pictures of her.
Is it true when you say Golda Gopher and drawing pictures of her, I started thinking about what Frank said about the shadow masturbate.
I don't know. Why did you bring that up?
Because I wanted to know.
I don't think the shadow... Frank is an idiot. Frank is...
My husband's not an idiot, Phil.
Then why would he say that the shadow masturbated looking through windows?
Phil, I don't know. The shadow, I don't know anything about the show. All I know is that it was a radio show about a shadow that crept through the alley...
and peeked in bedroom windows, according to Frank.
I guess so, yes.
And would it find out if the crime's going to be committed?
Yes, that's what the shadow did. He found out if there were crimes being committed, and then, if the opportunity presented itself, masturbated. What are you smiling at? So you think it's a big joke?
Well, of course I think it's a big joke. If Frank told you that and you believed that, I'll bet you anything, Frank's lying, man. He's a lying...
Watch it.
Well, I got news for you. In the 1930s, on American radio, there's no chance at all, not even a remote chance, even if they made a mistake and it got on the air once, there's no chance at all that any character on radio in America in the 30s would peek through a bedroom window and then masturbate.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure, man.
Well, you know, you laugh about it, Mr. Henry, but we don't know as much about the media like you do.
And I don't like you calling my husband a liar.
He's putting you on. Don't you understand? He's putting you on. God. There's not a chance. I'm telling you, there's not a chance. This is the day and the age when they had that code, you know? You know what that is?
Yes, the Hays Code. I'm very familiar with it, Phil. I write about film.
Well, if you write about film, then you're aware of American culture in the 30s, and you know there was a Hays Code, and you know that there was very, very strict controls on what was seen.
That didn't come into existence till the mid-30s. The films in the early 30s, Phil, were very risque. Very risque. Jean Harlow would wear gowns in the movies that she was in the early 30s, and you could see nipple.
What could you see?
I don't want to yell it.
She said nipple, okay?
Are you kidding?
No, she's right, too. Jean Harlow, I think, was in some movies. She didn't wear any underwear.
You didn't wear any underwear? I mean, what, so?
So you could, it was very evident that she wasn't wearing underwear. And there were other instances. I think Rudolph Valentino, there's a famous picture of Rudolph Valentino wearing a Toreador outfit. And it's like, hey, did you strap that thing to which leg? And
now you put me on.
No, I'm not kidding, man.
The Hays Code was introduced to control a lot of these images that were really rather rampant in the early films.
Now, was it like that during the silent films?
I don't know, but I do know that in the late 20s and early 30s, there were quite a number of movies that were very, very graphic that way.
And then came this Hays Code, because... every now and again, you see one of those movies that we're talking about. It's like on TCM or something like that.
Where can you go?
Well, slow down.
But it's not like porn, man, okay? It ain't like, woo-hoo, you know. It's just for the times, it was rather graphic. And I think it's interesting. Those movies are interesting only in light of the fact that they actually... exist, and it gives us a look at what filmmakers wanted to do. It gives us a look at what actors and actresses were willing to do and what American audiences, I suppose, would tolerate. But this Hays Code, and I don't know who this guy Hays was. Do you, Margaret?
No, I don't. Some civil servant, you know.
All right, so it's some guy in the U.S. government said, well, I think he was the guy that ran the office that actually reviewed the movies, but they would look at these films, and if it didn't pass... the Hays Code, then it was very hard to find anyone that would distribute, let alone exhibit the film. It was hard to find a theater for it. It wasn't banned, but the Hays office made it known that we do not approve of this, And, you know, people didn't want... In those days, it was bad for business. It was today, if you run afoul of an official government edict, you're almost like a rebel. People sort of admire you. In those days, people felt Uncle Sam knew best, and so...
So they decided the movie's too dirty to see and everything?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. It was bad for business. Maybe they didn't think themselves the movie was dirty. Maybe they themselves probably... Maybe they would watch that movie. But if they were in business as a movie theater... If they were in business as a movie distributor, they did not take a chance to show that movie.
But they'd run that guy out of business, the guy that made a movie.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to run him out of business, but it basically said to the guy, you're going to have to make some very liberal edits, you know?
That's what they wound up doing, cutting the film.
Yeah, they'd cut the movie or they'd do something to it that would make it more acceptable. But some of the films before the Hays Code were out, and what Margaret said, yeah, they were pretty graphic. All right, so that's that. Now, I wanted to talk about this damn coyote thing, because I think it's... And there's also the Hulk Hogan, Bud. Is that what you showed me?
Yeah, the Hulk Hogan story's pretty bitching. Man, why don't you talk like you've been to school? I have been to school. Oh, bitching.
Yeah, Bud, you don't have to scream it. Hulk Hogan intends to sue over the grainy sex tape footage that found its way online this week. A lawyer for the Hogan Knows Best star tells E! News. Hogan Knows Best, what is that?
It's a new reality show, I think.
Better late than never. I mean, I would have thought that Hulk Hogan would be a perfect reality star. Anyway, attorney David Houston wouldn't say exactly when their lawsuit will be filed or who the intended targets are, but he said in no uncertain terms that they are commencing action. And that comes as no surprise, Houston said back in March when news of the existence of the footage first broke that they would sue to ensure that no one profited from it. Hogan's partner in X-rated home movie antics has not been identified. Houston said that his client was unaware that he was being recorded at the time. Look out. An anonymous donor slipped about 30 minutes of teaser footage into Gawker, which posted it yesterday. It's unclear when the tape was made, but Hogan is seen checking his ringing phone to see if it's his son Nick calling and indicated that the recording was made sometime after Nick's release from jail in 2008. I wonder if it was Nick.
Why?
Wasn't Nick the one that released some tape? I'm trying to think now. Am I thinking of Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Well, there was someone's son.
No, you thought it was Alec Baldwin.
Oh, it was Alec Baldwin's daughter.
No, but what if he released it?
What?
What do you mean Alec Baldwin released it?
I don't know. I thought, is that what you were saying?
No, why would Alec Baldwin have Hulk Hogan's sex tape?
Maybe he was the one, well, I shouldn't say.
He was the one having sex with Hulk Hogan? Yeah, okay, great.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, folks, thank you very much. Bud, thank you. That was fantastic, Bud. Hulk Hogan, apparently his sex partner was Alec Baldwin, and it was Alec Baldwin that released the tape. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, it wasn't. It was Alec Baldwin's daughter that got a hold of it and released the tape.
You think he's going to sue his daughter?
Are you guys stupid or something? All right, we'll be back with more of our other news, the success of the urban coyote and what a coyote actually is. Bud Dickman will fill us in on that. I don't know who the hell they're going to be suing. I don't know who released the tape. I don't know. It is kind of messed up that he was being taped without his full knowledge. Kind of makes a man, well, you know, kind of makes a man wonder, you know.
Well, don't worry, darling. I don't think anyone's going to be releasing any sex tapes of you.
I don't know. I hope not. I hope you'll keep those private, Margaret.
How dare... I'm going to the bathroom.
Yeah, go ahead. Bye.
Hey! Don't release no sex tape, Margaret!
Yeah, Margaret, please, please, Margaret. Let's keep it between you and me.
Shut your filthy...
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
I just want to say... We're off here. Your pie hole.
Phil Henry.
Okay. Thank you, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're online at philhenryshow.com, and very happy to be with you. Also at Twitter, at twitter.com/realphilhenry, and on Facebook at facebook.com/philhenryfans, P-H-A-N-S, if you want to like us. That'd be nice. It's nice to be liked, you know.
I think that's that whole Facebook experience is rather, I think it's dangerous. I think it's a little low class. What do you think of it?
I like it. It's people use it, Margaret, and if people use it, then that's where we need to be. Those of us in the media, those of us who are in the business of trying to attract people to our work, we have to be where people are, and so I'm able to connect to people there, Twitter, wherever, you know.
I just think it's very meat markety. You know, it feels like a meat market. You know, I feel when I'm over on Facebook, I feel as if I'm being passed around like I'm a piece of meat. You know?
Well, what do you mean? Like, everybody's hot for you and stuff?
You know, I'm not... I don't want to even go there with you, Bud, if you don't mind. Come on, Bud.
Well, it's talking about people passing around like they're feeling you up and stuff.
I didn't even use the term feel me up. So don't go there, please.
All right, let's just, you know, leave it there. But in any event, join us over there at philhenryshow.com. Oh, and also, we are auctioning a picture disc on our website tonight. The top bid is $100. Looks like Dave in Florida may have this sewed. The picture disc, there's a picture of it on our website. But you have to be a BSP to bid on it. So maybe, you know, get yourself a Backstage Pass membership, and you have yourself thousands and thousands, over 4,500 hours of full shows on audio. We have a video cast archive as well as the live video cast of our show every night on Phil TV. Is the success of Urban Coyotes a sign of bigger things to come? A mountain lion roams the streets of downtown Santa Monica until it is shot by authorities. A black bear. Did you hear about this, Margaret?
Oh, you hear about animals coming. I didn't hear about this, no.
A black bear searches Glendale neighborhoods for meatballs until it's captured and caged. Now, Glendale, Santa Monica, these are suburban areas of Los Angeles, not unlike where a lot of you guys live. Episodes of large carnivores entering urban areas are seemingly on the rise, and scientists say the beasts may be following a path worn by urban coyotes as well as skunks and raccoons before them. We used to think only little carnivores could live in cities, and even then we thought they couldn't really achieve large numbers, said urban ecologist Stan Gert. But we're finding that these animals are much more flexible than we gave them credit for, and they're adjusting to our cities. Very interesting. At a symposium Friday at Ohio State University in Columbus, Gert described his 12-year effort to track and study almost 700 coyotes living in and around urban areas, including Chicago. So this is not just a Los Angeles problem.
Did you see a monkey one time in Miami?
Yeah, you know what? I did. And I have to be honest with you. I did, Bud.
You jump out a monkey.
Yeah, it was a monkey. It wasn't a chimpanzee, but it was some kind of a monkey. Now, I saw this animal on Fort Lauderdale, on the aisles there. You guys in Fort Lauderdale, you know I used to live on Hendricks Isle. There's these little fingers of boat docks and stuff. I lived on one of those streets. And I used to jog. And I came down the street one day, and I heard this rustling in a palm tree, and I looked up. It was a monkey. Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying that there's a population of wild monkeys in South Florida at that time. Maybe there was. This is a long time ago, man, 30-plus years. But it could have been one that was in a cage.
Well, it could have been they have, like, pet monkeys get loose.
Yeah, it might have been something like that. But the animal that I did see that was far more fascinating to me than the monkey was the wild parrot. And these are creatures that I think that originally were South American, indigenous to South America, and came here as pets or came here as caged animals and got loose. And now there is a wild parrot population in South Florida that are very colorful animals. They're big parrots. These southern hemisphere parrots are pretty big size.
They're like giant, right?
No, they're not giant, man. You know, they stand, you know, pretty big-sized animals. But I don't know what impact they've had on the ecology of South Florida. I don't know what they've done to the balance of
balance of power. Yeah.
It's not the balance of power. It's the eco-balance.
Yes.
Balance of power.
No, it's like the balance of power of the animals. Yeah, which animals, like when Russia and America.
It ain't like Russia and America. No, it's not the balance. There's not some animal down there going, okay, you know, I'm the badass. You know, animals don't operate that way. Anyway, we used to think, so this guy's talking about tracking these carnivores in cities like Chicago, Los Angeles. By using radio-transmitting collars, Garrett and his colleagues were able to track the progress of the coyote communities and found that they were thriving and plentiful food sources for these animals. The survival rate of coyote pups in urban areas is 5 times higher than those of rural pups.
You're kidding.
Well, that means that, in other words, the coyotes are having an easier time in the urban areas.
Yeah. There's more food. There is more of a chance of survival in the urban areas. And it could very well be that humans, as long as you know how we are with animals, I think humans are getting smarter when it comes to animals. If the animal does not threaten us, is not posing a threat to us, is not posing some health risk to us, we generally are going to leave that creature alone unless we're stupid, like some humans are, and we go for kicks and shoot and kill them. But if we were doing that in any great numbers, these animals would not be surviving.
Now, yeah, but now that you said they are surviving, then some guy's going to go out tonight and try and kill them.
Probably. You know, it's probably.
But why are you talking about it?
Because I'm not going to keep myself from talking about these things because there's imbeciles in the world, okay? I'll just let the, there's good people out there as well, and I'll let the good people handle the idiots. How about that?
Well, Phil, what does that mean?
I mean that if a guy's going to, I told you what it means. I'm not going to go into it again.
You didn't shoot him.
I didn't say that either. I talked about that the other night, these clowns that are shooting sea lions. There's a lot of folks that don't like it. They're taking care of business. Don't worry about it.
Well, I don't like the way that sounds.
Margaret, they're working with law enforcement. Does that make you feel better?
Yes, it does. Because for a minute there, it sounded like you were encouraging people to go out and be a vigilante.
Yeah, that you can't do that.
Look, I wasn't even suggesting that. All right. I'm losing my place. Would you guys calm down, okay?
Sorry.
Anyway, the animals, Garrett said, were serving as a test case for larger carnivores like wolves, mountain lions, and bears. It's likely that humans will have to get used to increasing conflict between themselves and wild carnivores. Eradication programs aimed at specific species such as the coyote have shown mixed results, he said. When Garrett's study began in 2000, several communities around Chicago trapped and killed coyotes found within their boundaries. I think those programs will go away. It costs money. It upsets some residents who want coyotes living there. There's conflict, cost, and lack of effectiveness. I wouldn't like that.
You know what? What are you talking about, man?
I don't think I'd want to have these animals just out shot or killed out of hand. I don't like that. You know, if they're proving to be a real risk, then we're talking, you know, there's a problem.
Well, Phil, do you need to have a child eaten before it becomes a risk?
No, I don't need that, okay?
Then what do you call a risk?
If they are attacking and killing pets, yes. And then that would obviously mean that they're probably a risk to humans. I mean, if they're attacking humans or yes, then they're a risk. You're right. I'm sorry. It's just that I have a hard time out of hand slaughtering these animals if they're, you know, eating out of a dog dish. I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't know if they're going to be eating a people or not.
You don't know. Right, but even though your grammar is absolutely atrocious, eating a people.
No, I mean eat a person.
No, you're right, bud. You're right. And there have been instances where these animals have attacked humans. I think it's very worthy thing to consider. You're right. You know, I've just got a real I got a problem. I hate to see these animals destroyed if they don't need to be. That's all.
Well, I don't know who makes that decision. And I'll tell you something else, Phil. I would hate to come to you as a mother and say, "You see this? It used to be my kid. Thanks, Mr. Hendry."
What does that mean? God.
You know what it means. Didn't you see Jaws?
Oh, will you stop? What do you mean, Jaws?
That woman came to the sheriff of the town.
Yeah, she did. And she slapped his face because the little kid...
Oh, well, the movie. Oh, I'm just so broken up about a movie kid getting eaten by a shark.
Why can't you have some sensitivity?
Sensitivity to what? What did you just say to me?
If I came to you with a hat and I said there used to be a head that this rested on and the head is gone, how would you feel about that?
I'd probably think you were insane.
You'd think, what if I told you the head belonged to my son?
Then I would say, where is your son?
Oh, my God.
Well, you got no sensitivity.
Wait. Are we living in America on the planet Earth now, or are we off in a munchkin land? Where are we now?
What do you mean, where are... I'm telling you, Phil, I'm being graphic for a reason, and there are mothers out there that understand what I'm saying. If I came to you and all I had was a kid's head, and it was my kid's, and you recognized it as my kid...
Yeah?
What are you smiling at?
Because you're absurd.
You know, Phil...
You're absurd, Margaret. You're absurd. A-B-S-U-R... You know how to spell it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's an absurd thought, and it's an absurd statement. That's why I'm smiling. You come to me with your kid's head. What, did the coyote eat the rest?
Yes, Mr. Funny. Yes. Yes.
Then I would say you need a mental institution for walking around the neighborhood with your kid's head.
That's true.
Oh, so I'm the one.
Yes, you'd be the one. First of all, I'd say, what are you doing? I'd get you in a nut wagon so fast you wouldn't have time to say anything else. Then I would take the remains of that child and properly have those processed by the coroner or whatever. Then I'd probably interview some people that are sane and ask them what the hell happened. And then they'd tell me the kid was eaten by a coyote. And then I'd say, well, then we better damn well do something about these coyotes. They just killed a kid.
So you would act?
Of course I would. Two things I'd do. I'd make sure the coyotes are dead, and I'd put you in a nut house.
Why would you torture me that way?
You're walking around with your kid's head. Hello?
That's not normal, Miss Gray.
My child was just eaten by a coyote.
Yeah, your child's just eaten by a coyote. So you're telling me I'm supposed to what?
I'm in shock.
I'd have you evaluated by a psychiatrist, okay? And now we have to take a break, don't we, Dan? We do. Thank God. Thank God. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What do you think? I still don't understand.
Truth is our bitch.
Are you guys...
The Mama, Phil Hendry Show.
You walk around with a head, they've got to put you away.
I'm in shock over the...
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know, bud. I don't know that I want to talk about that.
I think it's insulting.
Well, that's what they call it, though.
Bud Dickman, Bud was telling us, so they call coyotes?
Yeah, well, that's a coyote, yeah.
But I'm glad you don't go cruising for a coyote, because there are no cougars.
Go cruising for a coyote because there's no cougars.
What's a coyote again?
Well, a coyote is a lady that is a cougar, but...
It's kind of, yeah, it's over.
Yeah, but it's over.
It's a lady that's a cougar, but it's over. You know, that's a pretty insulting,
Well, Phil, you were the one that had Ms. Dooley on your show a while back talking about women as cuts of beef, as I remember.
Well, she was the one doing it. I wasn't doing it.
Yes, called like old lady stew beef.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, you know, I have something to...
These yours?
Yes, I just dropped them. They would be mine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're hers.
Okay.
Can I have them?
Well, I'm just looking at them.
Give them to her, will you, Robert?
When I was on your program talking about the Greek booth at the Olympics, you remember that?
Yeah, the Greek guy.
Be quiet, please. You remember that, Phil?
Yeah.
Anyway, I told Bobby Dooley about that, and her response was something along the lines of, I didn't know they use stew beef in Greek food. And then she went, and then I heard click. So I called her back.
Well, you know she likes to get your goat.
No, yeah, I know that. But I called her back and I said, yes, they do use stew beef in Greek food, so today's your lucky day. And she goes, no, today's your lucky day. I've already been over there so he could sample sirloin.
Yeah.
Then click.
Yeah, what happened then?
I'm not talking to you, Robert. I'm talking to Phil.
Well, all right. Go ahead.
All right.
So let me, just so I'm clear.
You see, what I'm trying to say to you is that this woman is absolutely low class. There is absolutely no class at all. And this stupid... You're talking to Robert about Cougar. You have people in your life, is what I'm trying to say, Phil, who are absolutely the base. They are the dregs.
All right, so Bobby Dooley used cuts of beef, and I could see how it was insulting, and she called you stew beef.
Well, she thought she called me stew beef, but it didn't stick. Because I called her back and I said, yeah, they do need stew beef, so why don't you get over there? And she said, no, I was already there. And the man said, thank you, I was looking for some sirloin. And then she hangs up on me. But, hold on, I called her back, okay? And I said, yes, he called me and said the sirloin beef that he thought he had with you was actually round steak. And the sirloin beef was me. And she said, no, you were the ground hamburger, 20% fat. Click. What are you laughing?
I'm laughing because of the way you're telling the story. What do you think I'm supposed to do?
It is pretty funny.
What's funny about being called stew beef?
No, Margaret, that's not it. You're going...
That's what she was doing. That's what your dear little Bobby was doing. That's what your dear friend is doing. I'm calling her up, trying to set her straight. And then she one-ups me with, no, you're the 20% fat in the hamburger. Go ahead, laugh.
You tell a funny story, Margaret.
What? Well, I don't understand. What do you mean I tell a funny story?
It's the way you tell the story. It's funny.
The way you...
No, wait a minute, bud. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What do you mean I'm funny? What does that mean I'm funny?
You're just funny. I mean, the way you...
Funny how? Funny why? I'm funny to you how? What makes me so funny? Huh?
Just the way you tell a...
No, wait a minute. You said I was funny. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, I said you were funny.
How am I funny? What makes you laugh? Am I a clown to amuse you? What makes me...
Get the hell out of here, Margaret.
Oh, I almost had you, though, didn't I?
Yeah!
God.
Almost had you. He was about to go. He was ready to go.
Yeah, he was. All ready to go.
I had you.
You know, you're a really funny girl. All right. Sorry. Preceding brought to you by the film Goodfellas. Now, couple more things that we wanted to tell you. First off, coming up this weekend, we're going to have... What's going on?
Mr. Wheeler.
Yeah, Dean?
Hi, Phil. The purification ceremony has ended, and we think we have been able to work with Mr. Bozell. Steve is here, as a matter of fact. You want to get on the extension, Steve?
I'm Attorney Steve Bozell.
Oh, you're at the... Are you at the ashram?
Yes, sir, I am. We came up about 20 minutes ago, my wife and I.
Man, you got on a plane fast, huh?
I took a friend's plane. He's flying up here. He was on his way up to Han Ranch, and we went ahead and came with him.
And what's going on?
Well, right now the purification process has started, and I'm in the sauna, or they call it what? This is a sweat lodge that we're in, so we're trying to sweat all. We're sweating all of the triviality out of him. Because Steve's problem isn't that he has fear. Steve's problem is that he is filled with trivial concerns. And so in this lodge, where we are able to perform the said ceremony, this is, we're sweating all the trivial notions away from you, Steve.
Appreciate it.
Do you feel yourself, what's going on?
I just feel like I'm less silly about things now.
Yeah, the silliness is being sweated out of him.
How do you sweat the silliness out?
Who's that?
This is Robert Leonard, sir. How do you sweat out a silly?
You sweat the silliness out by just... You sit and you sweat. I don't know.
You seem to be working, Rick.
You sit and sweat?
Well, yeah. I didn't really know how to help him. I said, well, why don't you sit and sweat in the lodge for a while?
So, in other words, you don't have any process by which he can get rid of his fear of needles. You just sit him in a sauna and...
Get his mind off of it.
I thought you were doing some purification thing.
Oh, we are. But that costs $100.50.
All right, thanks a lot.
Oh, yeah, now he's pissed off because I said I charged money. You didn't charge me.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you on Monday, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com. Where we, of course, each and every day have a live video cast of our radio show for you to enjoy, for you to amuse yourself with. Don't forget the Milwaukee Lions on Monday at 1 o'clock, Monday afternoon, 1 o'clock, right here on the website, for those of you who are looking at our Phil TV in HD, and the audio radio call of the Lions with Jack Gagner and Brett Morrison. Until Monday night, this is Phil Henry saying, enjoy the weekend and let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.